Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Well, this is weird. So this time on a Friday, I'm usually doing the slot, but I can't interview myself, obviously, for the slot. So we've gone for my fellow Kildare native, the great Laura Donnelly's here. Afternoon, Laura.
Hi, Shane. How are you doing?
We're keeping the Kildare theme going.
It's coming up. Don't worry.
We've a lot of nudity as well, just to warn you, in this slot. But we're going to be talking moving cottages, nudies across the country. Laura's going to give us a roundup of some of the stories you might have missed this week. And we'll begin in Cork.
Bicycle.
I want to ride my
Well, there's riding a bike and there's doing it this way.
Naked, yes. The World Naked Bike Ride returns to Cork City. And the headline in the Cork Bio, not my headline now, is wobbling down a street near you. So the Cork leg of the World Naked Bike Ride takes place this weekend. So the naked cyclists will be going through Cork, Patrick Street, ending at City Hall. And ahead of the cyclists are stewards who'll be warning that there's a cycle coming along and there's nudity coming along. So warning of oncoming nudity. The cyclists strip off, bare all. They sometimes cover themselves in body paint or some kind of head hat decoration. I know we're joking about it now, but there is a serious side to it as well. It's to highlight the dangers on the road. And in particular, outside of Dublin, Cork is the most dangerous area outside of Dublin for those on a bike. So this began 25 years ago in Spain, where there's a series of fatal collisions, and it was sparked this sort of event that highlights the dangers on the roads. It also has taken in recently that it highlights body positivity and more sustainable transport.
Now, I haven't ridden a bike in quite a while, but it was quite sore.
Yes.
I can't imagine what this would be like naked.
I know. I'm not much of a cyclist either, but I was doing a charity 1 year ago for my GAA club, and padded shorts were recommended to all of us.
Right.
So I can't imagine doing a big cycle like this.
In a heat wave as well.
I know. There's a lot to contend with there.
Now, they're not really saying people should stand on the street and kind of watch them and cheer them along, really. We don't know the location properly yet, do we? It's kind of a bit of a surprise.
No, it hasn't been fully revealed. This article just says Patrick Street, which, as you know, in Cork is one of the busiest, biggest streets, and ending at City Hall. But while they haven't revealed that, I don't think you'll miss it.
This is on this weekend?
Saturday, yes.
Okay. I might go to Cork for a look. Anyway, we're going to stay with nudity for our next story.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
Dorina singing.
I love to swim.
So if nude cycling isn't for you on Saturday, Sunday, a nude dip in the nip might.
What a great weekend for the nudists around the country.
They're flat out.
Their dream weekend.
They do have to get from Cork to Wexford. So hundreds are expected at the dip in the nip as it enters its 13th year.
Fine.
And it takes place in Wexford on Sunday morning. It raises money for the Hope Cancer Support and has raised over 320,000 so far. The organisers are saying that often it's very difficult to get people to commit to it, to agree to do it, and then on the day they can't get people to get out of the water. They've loved it so much. They say that you don't need to sign up or anything in advance, and they expect 500 to 600
really?
People to show up, and it's at 7 a.m. as well.
It's incredible for people who may have, you know, body issues and things to be in that sort of community where you see that everyone kind of, you know, the similar bodies and everyone has their hang-ups and things. So it's really positive.
Yeah, and they're also recommending that, you know, if you sign up to one of these fundraisers, you have to put in a lot of work, a lot of training, all the hours and the miles beforehand. But for something like this, you don't have to do any training. You just have to show up, take part. You know, you can give a donation to the Cancer Support and obviously just have a bit of crack. So that's Rosslare Beach at 7 on Sunday.
They don't want me going to watch them do that either.
No, they don't.
Okay.
I'd say they go early to just get in and get out.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Now we're going from Wexford to the neighbouring county of Wicklow. Fascinating cottage here.
Yeah, so this cottage, which was part of the very first Ideal Home exhibition in London in 1907, it's called Laburnum Lodge, and very soon after that exhibition it made its way to Wicklow. So it travelled, it had an unusual journey by boat, rail and steam traction engine to its current home in Carnew. And the reason we're talking about this now is it's up for sale by auction. So it's a 5-bedroom Wicklow cottage. And obviously the story behind it is that it came from London, transported by boat and rail to Shillelagh railway station, then brought by steam traction engine to its present site just off the Carnew to Ferns Road.
Quite a spectacle.
Yeah, and the description is your usual typical big house. However, the advised minimum value is €150,000 with the note requires refurbishment and modernization, retains a number of its original features, B, E or G.
Okay. So,
but for someone who likes to do a bit of work, that would be brilliant. And you also have the story behind it, where it came from.
And it was sturdy enough to be moved.
Yeah, it made it here. It should be fine.
Now, let's go to the Irish Times have this piece this week. But there's so much news going on, it may have slipped people's attention about an incredible older woman.
I love these stories. Like, I'll never tire of reading a story of someone telling us how they got to the age of 100 odd. And usually it's, I have a drink of X, Y, or Z every day and I stay away from men. That's the top. But this is, while Berga Monaghan, she's sharp as ever at 107 and she's one of Ireland's oldest people. The headline here is, my mother and father had plain food and we were well-reared. Shane, you'll live forever. So she was born on November 30th, 1918, just after the end of the First World War. She's older than the state and she's Ireland's second oldest person, just after Mary Halley from Tipperary, born on the 9th of February in the same year.
But she's still really sharp. I saw a video of her the other day.
Yes.
She's incredibly sharp.
Her son here is saying she's in good general health. She rarely gets ill and takes no medication. Like, I've just taken a painkiller. Like, she's in better shape than we are today. But you're right, her mind is sharp. She does the Irish Times crossword every week, and a carer from volunteer from Alone brings her the paper every week. So we'll get into now her longevity and what she says.
What's the tips?
So she says, keeping your mind satisfied, a hardy upbringing, well-fed. My mother and father had plain food, hard work. So she trained as, she was a maths teacher. She then trained as a pharmacist and she has also worked on her husband's farm. So she was born Walburga Fulham in Salins in County Kildare.
Hey, go on, Kildare.
Yeah, there's hope for me. One of eight children, and she's named after a 9th century Anglo-Saxon saint, because I've never heard that name before.
No.
And there's obviously something in the genes. Her surviving sister, Maura, will be 100 later this year.
Okay, well, final story we want to hear from this particular man.
I just want to dance with you. I want to dance with you. Whirl you all around the floor. That's what they invented dancing for. I just want to dance with you.
Well, now you're going to be able to dance with Daniel in his garden.
Exactly. He's opening up his home and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people are expected to make the journey there July 28th. And this is also for charity, for the Relay for Life. He did it years ago. He announced at a concert once that people could come to his home and he gave out his address and it became a thing that he opened up his house, until one time in the 90s. 3,000 people queued in a small village and the whole thing had to be shut down. His air code is in the Irish Independent if anyone wants to make the journey, and also look up that photo. It's incredible.
Now, the only thing is, you can only get into his garden,
yes,
not the house. I thought you'd go through the presses.
No, the terms and conditions say it's a cup of tea in the garden, no entry to the house, so you don't get to have a route around.
That'd be a fabulous day. Laura, you're better at this than me. Thank you so much for joining us for a regional roundup here on Lunchtime Live. We'll be back to normal next week.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.